fellowship and enjoy time around your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In our Bibles, over to Jude. Jude. Jude is in a list of verbs and participles as he closes this book, getting Christians ready to contend for the faith, to fight for the faith, and encourage believers to continue to stand strong. He's mentioned several things already in the list. In verse 21, he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." I want to focus on that middle part of the verse where he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We've had three dogs over our marriage, and this is one of the things that I miss about having a dog is that when Daddy comes home, if you got a dog that enjoys when someone comes to the door, and they just can't contain themselves. I remember as when Joshua and even the two girls were little, both houses that we had a bay window in the front of the house. And so when I pulled in my car in the driveway, you know, I could see a little blonde head or a little blonde hair girls right there, and they'd peek up over that big old window. And then not long after they peeked over, then the puppy dog would put the paws up there on the window and look over too. And when they saw me coming in, they'd run down around the corner and down the stairs, hollering, "Daddy's home, Daddy's home." And then I'd open the door and there they were just waiting, you know. And then on the other side of the children, the dog was there with their, you know, the tongue hanging out. This is excitement, just couldn't wait to be petted. And it's just, you know, it couldn't contain itself because there was this anticipation that Daddy was home. Well, now we don't have a dog, and my kids are kind of older, so when I walk in the door, it's like, oh, you. So that, you know, things have changed as kids grow older. Well, Jed's still excited to see me when I come home, and he started and goes running around the house, gives me a big old hug, and so we'll see what happens when I come home tomorrow with the kids that were paying attention tonight. So you just think about the anticipation and the excitement when someone you love shows up at the door. And I think God as our Father wants that type of excitement and anticipation from us when He comes. His Son is one day going to step out on heaven and is going to call us home to meet Him in the air. And He wants His children to live with the expectation and the excitement that maybe today. I think the problem is many Christians have lost our excitement about the coming of the Savior. Many believers are too busy to think about it. Many Christians are caught up in their own lives. They're distracted. Could it be that there's a connection to the previous where we are to keep ourselves in the love of God? Maybe one of the reasons why we're not excited like we should be about the coming of Christ is because our love is still caught in this present world and we're not loving Christ as we should. Maybe similar to Lot's wife when she looked back and her heart turned to she turned to a pillar of salt because her heart was more in Sodom than it was in following God. And it's sad when Christians are so caught up in this present life that we lose sight of the one that is to come. And Jude is here telling us the mark of discipleship. He's giving us tools to live in this wicked world with a pure heart, not compromising, not falling into false doctrine, but to protecting us from the wicked world around us. And he's been given some active verbs that we need to be involved in. And part of that is keeping our eyes on the coming Savior. I know several songs that we've sung even tonight, but that we have in our book. Maybe it would be good to just kind of look at them. Turn over in your hymn book to 28. We're not going to sing it, but let me just read it and your eyes be upon so many of our hymns. Hymn number 28. The songwriter wrote, "Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrow now. From the fight returned victorious, every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him. Crowns become the victor's brow." Look at the second verse. "Crown the Savior, angels crown him. Rich the trophies Jesus brings. In the seat of power enthrone him, while the vault of heaven rings." Notice the joy that's coming out of this song. Look at the last verse. "Hark those bursts of acclamation. Hark those loud triumphant chords." Notice the music that he is envisioning that's going to come when that trumpet blows and when we get to heaven, the beautiful noise of the triumph of Christ. "Jesus takes the highest station. Oh, what joy the sights afford. Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords." What a song of joy. "Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious." Jude has been speaking about our life in this wicked world. How should we live? How do we advance for Christ in a world that's gone wrong? How do we contend for the faith? How do we learn by some actions that we are to advance in the kingdom, not just hold up in some palace somewhere and wait for him to come, but we are to actively look for what we can be doing in light of his return. We are to remember his promises and his memories, and the memories of his kindness and goodness and promises to us. We are to build ourselves up in the most holy faith in verse 20. Building ourselves around the power of the Word of God, reading his love letter to us, filling our minds with biblical truth. That's key to us living in this wicked world and keeping our heart and our focus. Then he says, here we are to pray in the Holy Ghost. This is communion with Christ in prayer. Praying in the control of the Holy Spirit, understanding that we have an opportunity to talk to our Savior who loves us so. We are not only to be praying in the Holy Spirit, but he says here we are in verse 21, keep ourselves in the love of God, staying in love with him, keeping ourselves in the place of his blessing and following him in obedience. And now we are to look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to return and the everlasting life that he brings. Let's just look at this phrase here to encourage us. I told you last week that keep yourselves in the love of God is the main verb in these two verses. Building, praying, and looking are supporting participles around the main verb. In other words, this is indication. This is how we keep in love with our Savior. By building ourselves in the Word of God. By praying to him and by looking for his coming. The indication is looking for the coming of Jesus is just as important as reading your Bible. Looking and anticipating the coming of the Savior is just as important as praying in the Holy Ghost. Those are key to keeping our heart and our focus in the right place when there are so many distractions around us. Staying in love with Jesus means staying in love with his word, staying in love talking to him and anticipating him to knock on the door when he comes. We're living in light of our future hope. Our minds are set always on the fact that we could be in any moment standing face to face with our Savior. The word looking here means to remain in a place or state of expectation for a future event. In other words, it carries this idea of something that is coming in the future, tomorrow, tonight, next week, sometime. In other words, it is eschatological in nature, is an anticipation for the coming of the Savior. Listen to some of these verses that use this same word, looking or waiting. Mark 15:43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Same exact word. Luke 2 in verse 25 and verse 38, two people who in the birth narrative, Scripture says, Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for the hope of Israel. Then in verse 38, a few verses later, the Scripture says of Anna, who to all of them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. The word looked here is the same word that Jude uses. In other words, Simeon and Anna were an old man and woman who were waiting in Jerusalem for the hope of Israel. There was this anticipation. They couldn't wait for this Messiah to show up. Also, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 5, it is spoken of in a general term for Paul when he was saying, these going before tarried for us at Troas. The word tarried, there's the same word looked. It has this idea that they were standing there waiting for Paul to return to Troas. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. Paul says this of the Thessalonian believers, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Believers are waiting and anticipating and looking for the return of Christ. And this is the same word that Jude uses here. It's in the present, which means it's continual. It means we are to be ever, always anticipating, never distracted, waiting actively for his return, looking for him to return. Matthew 24 and verse 36. This implies, this waiting at any moment implies that the return of Jesus is going to be imminent. Jesus said this, but of the day or the hour no man knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. In Matthew 25 and verse 13, he cries out to the disciples, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. This is any moment, any day. And I love prophecy. I love to study the signs of the times. I love the book of Daniel. I love the book of Revelation. I'm interested in Russia and Iran and Israel as a nation. And who the next Antichrist would possibly be. What about the battle of Gog and Magog and Armageddon? Daniel's 70th week. I'm holding back my series on the book of Revelation and I can't wait to preach it again, but the Lord has said not right now because I enjoy hearing about prophecy. But listen, I'm not waiting for Israel or for Russia or for the Antichrist or from some peace treaty. The only thing I need is the fact that Jesus could come back at any moment. That is all I need to wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Now I know that the last times there are going to be a lot of signs that are going to show up, especially when you get to the tribulation and for the second coming of Christ. But for the return of Jesus Christ for his people, that what we would see as the rapture from Thessalonians and from 1 Corinthians, that is a moment, that is a twinkling of an eye. And we don't know the time, we don't know the day. We're not waiting for some peace treaty or some governmental bringing together of some council or the League of Nations to make some decision or for these countries to fall under these. Those are all signs that we can tell of his second coming, but we don't know when his return for us will be. Now, I want to ask you, actually, I think we could probably just see this sung in another song. Turn over to 281. Hymn 281. My Lord will come. It may be soon. It could be morning, night, or noon. Till then I'll watch and work and pray. When he comes, I'll go home there to stay. My Lord will come, I know not when, but this is sure, he'll come again. With eager eyes I look for him, in his presence new joy will begin. We'll sing his praise forevermore when we have entered heaven's door, redeemed from all our sin and strife. There we'll know perfect love and endless life. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come, I will go home, and it may be today. Do you actually believe that? Does that impact your life today? Looking for Jesus, where does that remind us, bring our attention to? I was just thinking about that this week as I was thinking about the return of Christ. And my mind went to James 4. And I know in the passage of James, it's not talking necessarily in the context about the coming of the Savior. It's talking more in concern about the brevity of life. But this thought, no matter what it would be, if Jesus Christ, he could come back at any moment, he could come back tonight. Or you could breathe your last breath. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. That was what James was dealing with that early church. There were some in the church that were saying, hey, we'll go out to the marketplace today or tomorrow, we'll do this or that. And James says, listen, you don't know what your life is. It's brief. You can't guarantee that you have tomorrow. Both he could come back today or you could breathe your last breath. Whatever the case may be, we could be facing our Savior before the end of this service tonight. Young people, do you think about that? What goes through your mind with that possibly within the next hour, we could be entering heaven's gates? Some of us may have an emotion of fear. Some of us, there may be some dread. Some may actually, tonight, you may mock it because you doubt it. There were those in the first century that doubted the coming of the Lord, said, well, it's been thousands of years and he's not come. We've got all the time in the world. Some may think I'm just being a little bit dramatic. Well, Pastor, you're just trying to get our attention so that we'll pay attention for the next few minutes. It is a reality. And whether you're a young adult or you're a teenager, or it doesn't matter what age you are, what reminds me of when we are looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, it tells me that our life is brief. And Job said, my days are like the wind. The imminent return of Jesus means that I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. Also, looking for Jesus reminds me not only that life is brief, but also that this is not all there is. This is not all there is. We have hope that this old world is going to pass away, and that this body that is hurting and breaking down as the day goes, and if the Lord tarries his coming, we know all of us are going to deal with some kind of aches and pains, and it's just calling us tomorrow. But we have to keep our mind that Jesus is coming back and that this is not all there is. That gives us hope. Titus said this in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the grace of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul was encouraging Titus and saying, Titus, keep your eyes on the goal that our hope is ever before us. Hold loosely the things of this earth, because life is brief. Jesus is coming back and we'll leave it all behind. Listen to what John said in 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3, not long probably after Jude writes his book. I quoted this verse a week ago. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then he says this, for every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So John's admonition to the church is that in us looking for the return of Jesus Christ, in the hope that he is going to return for those of us who are his sons, who we received his love, it ought in ourselves produce a spirit of purifying. In other words, we see this, that Jesus Christ is going to come back and we're going to be pured and we're going to be glorified, and we're going to put this world aside. We're going to put this sinful body aside and the sinful temptations aside and this world aside that's filled with sin, and we'll put it all aside and we will be just like Jesus. That's the hope. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I read my devotions this week, reading through the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. That promise again. And maybe it would be good for us to read that passage again, just in light. 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, a couple verses in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That was, we are going to be glorified. We are going to change from this corruptible. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he concludes with a comfort to the believers. Therefore, my beloved brethren, in light of this, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Does that sound like someone who's held up in a basement somewhere waiting for Armageddon? For as much as ye know that your labor is not empty, in vain, in the Lord. Everything you do while on this earth, while waiting for the Savior and looking for his return, those things that are done for Christ, we will receive our reward. We have a different focus and a different mindset about things. Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Looking for Jesus means keeping our eyes off the world and our eyes up to heaven, realizing that there is the best is yet to come. Thomas Manton said this, those who take their eyes off their future hope will find that their love for God is slowly evaporating, and it will be evident that their real love is for the present evil world. I think that's why a lot of believers are not anticipating and looking for the return of Christ, because it means giving up what we love more, this world. Notice what he says in this verse, if you're back to Jude before we close here. He points our looking specifically in this verse for a characteristic of the return of Christ. Looking for the, and what's the next word? Mercy. Mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This means that we are looking forward to when Jesus comes, but we're not focused necessarily on his judgment that is to come. That is what's going to happen when this Jesus comes back. There is going to be a process of judgment. We know the 7 years that are going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. We know that there's going to be a time and a half that's going to take place. This 3.5 year increments that are going to take place. And then the culmination of the battle of Armageddon, where Jesus Christ will then come back with his saints with him, recorded for us in Revelation chapter 19. And there's a whole lot of prophetic material that's going to happen, and God's dealing of judgment upon this earth. And one day we will return and we will sit upon thrones on this earth, and we as well with him will judge and rule and reign. Those are all aspects to his coming and his return. Those are all aspects that we don't want to deny. But in this verse, the eyes of the believers are looking for the return of Jesus Christ, because when he returns, we will see his mercy. His mercy. Not his judgment, but his mercy. We won't get what we deserve. We will receive the mercy and the grace of our Savior for all eternity. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And to Jude, the coming of Jesus was something that he could anticipate and look forward to and long for. Because when Jesus came before his saints, he would bring to them mercy. Mercy. This is why John could say in 1 John 3 and verse 3 that there's going to be a purifying. Because all that we struggle with, all that brings us a heaviness and a mourning, as Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn and weep now. One day you're going to laugh. One day you're going to leap for joy. Now, we can anticipate that joy. We can have that. But we still feel heavy about our sin. We still have the tears of what sin has done to both our life and the lives of those we love around us. But when Jesus comes back, he's going to wipe all of that away. He's going to usher us into heaven. And we're going to put this sinful body down. We're going to be purified. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, what a blessing to all of those who love his appearing. We are looking forward to the return of Christ. When we sang that song earlier tonight, oh, what a wonderful day it will be coming again. It reminded me of when we did family devotions. Growing up, we had a big family Bible. It had our family history and when we got saved in the first portion. But in the middle of the Bible, there were paintings, Bible pictures, that when we were little, my dad would flip through them. That my dad still has that family Bible. The pages are all torn and taped back together from our little hands of flipping it. We'd sit up in his lap and we'd flip through. And my dad had a song for each picture. Yeah, you know, Jesus with his, you know, children sitting in his lap. We'd sing Jesus Loves the Little Children. And then it would have Jesus walking on the water. There was a song we sang for that. Each page. But the last page, after the crucifixion, there was a page of Jesus on the cross. It was an old painting, and he was nailed there, and I saw the blood, and I could remember that even as a little kid. And then the next page was Jesus coming out of the tomb with his hands raised, and he had his nail-pierced hands, and the stone was rolled away, and there it was. But then the last page in that little picture section was Jesus descending from heaven with the angels around, and clouds coming in the clouds. And when he, as soon as he would turn that page, we would all sing, "Coming Again," because that was the song he sang for that page. So he'd get there, and then it was almost like a race for which one was going to say it first, and we'd turn it real quick, and then we'd all go into the song, and it was this anticipation. When we were singing that, I could see us as little kids, my dad pretending to turn that page, and then finally getting it, and we'd all jump in the song. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ looked down on our life in anticipation for tomorrow and said, "Oh, I got to go to school. I got to go to work. Well, that's what my agenda is for the day. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get breakfast. I've got to do this. I've got to get groceries. I've got to do that." Is somewhere on your list the possibility that Jesus could come again? You wake up in the morning, or maybe close your eyes at night and say, maybe today our Savior will come for us. And some of you who are older, there are probably some people you're looking forward to seeing. And that in and of itself as well is an anticipation. That's why Paul would talk to them in Thessalonica. You don't have to worry about those who sleep. Because when we rise, they're already going to be halfway up. And we're going to enjoy fellowship again with those loved ones that we've had to say goodbye to. That's an encouragement. And Paul says at the end of that chapter, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." What a blessing, the anticipation. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Father, I believe that we fail in our Bible reading. We fail in our prayer life. Lord, would you forgive us? We fail in our love to keep our attention and keep our heart focused on you. And Lord, I believe also we fail in our anticipation, our expectation to watch, look for the coming of our Savior. Would we live in light of the fact that you could come back at any moment? We're not guaranteed. These young people are not guaranteed they're going to finish high school, that we're going to be here tomorrow, going to finish a degree or finish out some career or retirement. We are to live every day as if it is our last, investing in eternity. Life is brief. It's like a vapor. It's here 1 minute, gone the next. And many of us know loved ones who are no longer here with us because you've called them home. Lord, would we keep our eyes in the right place, ever looking, keep our hope, loosely holding to the things of this life and the distractions of this life, because this is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Lord, help us to continue to wait, to watch, and be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed tonight.